And I thank you for this passage that Brother Phil read out, that you have penned for us. Thank you for the incredible words we read here, words about our hope and our future, words that help us to live through this messy life, knowing where we're going to end up one day. I really appreciate, Father, these great words you've given us, and I ask that you'd help us now to take it all in and be ever praising your name, especially for the grace that you have shown us in allowing us to have a home one day with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in March 2019, Colin and I were really privileged, I feel that, to be able to go to the land of Israel on a tour. Some of you remember that. And to go there where Jesus walked, it was incredible. You don't need to do it. We don't have any pilgrimages in the Christian life, but if you get an opportunity, it's fantastic to be able to do that. And of course, one of the places that we went to was the ancient city of Jerusalem. And I've given Mitch a few slides to show. Here we go. That's the ancient city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. How amazing, eh? From the Mount of Olives at sunrise. And the golden rays of the sun are lighting up the old city from the east. So that's the eastern side of the ancient city. The next slide is mid-morning. There it is. And then the next slide is the southern part of the ancient city. Can you see it? Look at it. It looks really ancient, doesn't it? Like the walls there. The next one, of course, Jerusalem is well known for the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. So that's a part of the ancient city. And then, of course, there's some very special places. Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's where they think it is, where the cross was put, where Jesus died. And the next one, the Garden Tomb. Pretty amazing, isn't it? What do you reckon? It's amazing. When I was there, I had to pinch myself. Is this happening? And the last one is a beautiful sunset over the ancient city of the old Jerusalem, the present Jerusalem. Thank you very much, Mitch. So this city existed way back. We first hear about this city in the days of Abraham. Do you know that? Back then it was called Salem, which means peace. And it was interesting in the days of Abraham that there was a king and priest who ruled in that city of Salem called Melchizedek. Pretty amazing, all this stuff, if you know your Bible. Melchizedek. But in the days of David, he took on that city, he defeated the Jebusites, and that's when the city became known as Jerusalem. So what does the name Jerusalem mean? Well, it's often been understood to mean city of peace. It's got Salem at the end. City of peace or foundation of peace. But if you know the history of Jerusalem, it's been anything but peace. It's been pulled down and rebuilt so many times. I think there's over 20 times that city has been defeated. So it's like a city of war rather than a city of peace. And then when you look at the existing walls, you can see all the different layers in that wall from all these conquests that have happened in that ancient city of Jerusalem. But in ancient Hebrew, what I find so amazing is that the name Jerusalem means something else. Its meaning is this: pointing the way to completeness and wholeness. I'm going to read that out again. Pointing the way to completeness and wholeness. So what that means is that this city and this name is pointing us somewhere. Pointing us to where? It's pointing us to Revelation 21. It's pointing us to the time when there will be a new Jerusalem on a new earth, and it will be a place of absolute completeness and wholeness. Wow, did you know that? There it was. This ancient city pointing the way for God's people one day where we will be a people together in a most wonderful place. And I loved last week, we looked at some fantastic verses about this place. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, we read, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." How good is that? That's completeness. That's wholeness. When we are no longer walking by faith, but we will be with God in his very presence in this great city that God will one day bring about. And in verse 4, it tells you how good it's going to be. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. That's wholeness, that's completeness, that's perfectness. That's how it's going to be. And then in verse 5, remember we saw this last week, and he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." So when I think of that ancient city called Jerusalem, I love how it's pointing the way to a glorious new city one day called the New Jerusalem, where God and His people will be together forever in absolute bliss. It's better than the word peace. It's going to be completeness and wholeness like you've never seen before. Wow, what do you think of that? That's our hope, sure hope, in Christ. And I just love this wonderful truth that as we live through this life where there is so much pain and hurt, if we are in Jesus, that's where we're going to be. You know, it's so important we understand this, because we can get so down in the dumps as we live here on earth. We really can. But you need to see what God has done for you. See His great love for you. If you have repented of your sins and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have called on Jesus to save you and you committed your life to Him, that's where you're going to be one day. Oh, praise His name. And you know, I love how, as I think about this, I can't help but think of two really important things I want to mention before I look at this wonderful city that's mentioned in Revelation 21. And I just want to just pause and be conscious of these great truths. None of us would ever be in the New Jerusalem. None of us. I would never be there. None of you would be there were it not for what happened in the ancient city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. When in that city there was a shadow of the cross cast over the ancient city of Jerusalem. And the great King of Glory, the Son of God, died on a cross and bore our sin and shame and was punished for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God, so that we could have a home in glory called the New Jerusalem. Wow. In the ancient city, that's where it happened, paved the way for us to be in the New Jerusalem. And the other thing that I want to mention is that those great words that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Jesus said just before His own arrest and crucifixion, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." You must have heard of these words. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I'm going to prepare a place for you." Do you realize that the Father's house is the New Jerusalem? So what this is saying to us is that Jesus, at the moment, is preparing this new great city and rooms in that new great city for us. I love that. Sometimes we just think He just died on the cross and that's it. No, He is still working. He's still doing amazing things. He's even interceding for us before the throne. And one day He's coming back for us and He's preparing a beautiful city. The old city points to this glorious new city that will come about one day for the people of God. And that should thrill your soul, even if life is really tough at the moment. That's where we're going. It's all going to work out. So we're going to end well for those who are in Christ. You should be excited about that. I am. All right. What we're going to do now, we're going to look into Revelation 21. And just in half a chapter, we're going to see what we can about this great place where we're going. And the first sort of like little subtitle for me in my notes is "The Splendor and the Glory." The Splendor and the Glory. Going to read verse 9 of Revelation 21 first of all. "Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" Oh, so what we get to see here is, we're not going to see a city, it seems. It seems like we're going to go and see the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Who's that? Genuine Christians. That's us if we love Jesus and follow Him. We are the bride of Christ. Wow, do you like that? Oh, praise the Lord. That's good. Yeah. So you know what? During this time right now, we have been betrothed to Christ. But one day, even before the New Jerusalem is seen, one day we're going to be married to Christ. We came across that in Revelation 19 verse 7, where it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready." We're the bride. How do we make ourselves ready? By coming to Jesus and committing our life to Him. So we're betrothed to Him already, and one day we're going to be married to Jesus, the Lamb. And that language is meant to help us understand something we know here on earth. You've got to think of the best marriage right here, the best marriage, whatever that looks like. This is what it should look like, where there is such a deep love and a complete commitment forever to each other. That's what this is symbolizing. We are going to be with Jesus forever. We're going to be so deeply loved by Him, we will deeply know Him forever. That's what Jesus has longed for. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. He's so desiring not only to be betrothed to us, but to be married to Him forever and ever. I love that. That's our Saviour. Wow. He didn't just die on the cross in obedience to His Father. He died on the cross also because He loves us and wants us to be with Him. So verse 9 is amazing. And then in verse 10 and 11, we read these things. And what you're expecting, because the last part of verse 9 is, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." But we don't get to see people like us. What do you get to see? You get to see where the people will live with Christ. Wow. And that's the next part. So in verses 10 and 11, we read, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem," or we call it the New Jerusalem, "coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper." Wow, what do you think of that? So John, the best he can, is trying to describe something here that is indescribable. Do you understand that? I love, first of all, that he has to be positioned by an angel on a great and high mountain in order to take in the splendor and the grandeur. Gee whiz, I just had a little flash there to the Stirling Ranges. You know, you gotta climb the mountains. And when you climb the mountains, it takes effort. You have this spectacular view of the scenery around you. It's just awesome. Well, it's saying that here. John has to be put on a great and high mountain to take it in. To take in this most incredible view of the New Jerusalem. And look at it. Look at the splendor and the glory of it. It's described here that it just shines the glory of God. It is like a most brilliant gem. It is just glorious. It's beautiful. Well, I don't know. I've run out of words to say now. Like, it's just beyond us. Okay? The best thing you've ever seen. This is the New Jerusalem. This is the home of Christ. Wife, us, this is a home that we will live in. This is incredible, I reckon. Okay, and so let's keep reading. And we read on, and it says in verses 12 onwards, "It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Wow. So lots of information given. First of all, I love how everything's symmetric. God's the perfect architect. And you notice the number 12 comes up a lot. You know, there's 12 angels, and there's 12 gates. And there's 12 apostles. By the way, just a little aside, I know it's popular in Christian circles these days to talk about apostles, that, you know, these Christian leaders are apostles. There were only 12 apostles. The ones who saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ and who were given the task of laying down the foundation for the church. You need to remember that, because these people who call themselves apostles, they are saying they've got new revelation, new this, new that, and they don't. We've got the Bible. It's completed. We don't need any more apostles. 12 apostles on the names of the foundation. 12. Oh, just by the way, there's a great verse on this. Ephesians 2 verse 20. The church has been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Wow, so what a city, eh? And it's just got this spectacular thing. So similar to the old city, where there is a wall, it's built on a foundation, but it's just beyond compare. Beyond compare. And then we read into verse 15 onwards. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles, its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. Okay, now that's grand. Do you understand how big the city is? This is the New American Standard Bible, so it's in imperial figures. But if you use metric, it's only 2,160 kilometres wide and deep and long and high. It says high, doesn't it? It's a massive city. It's a city for all of us. There's room for all of us. How good is that? It's big. It's huge. This is the city that God has made for us to be with him forever. How good is that? Big city. Can't even take it in. But there it is, this massive city upon the new earth. And also it's got a massive wall around it. Now when Colin and I were in, and with Dennis and Diane, and Gail, that's right, we were there in China, we went to the ancient city of Xi'an. And Xi'an is this walled city with a moat and drawbridges. It's amazing in China. And when we were there, this wall still stands. It's a magnificent ancient wall around the old city. But that's only about 20 metres wide. This one is so much wider. So what we're saying is that there's nothing like this city, this new city. It's bigger than anything we've ever seen. You know what I reckon? The best palace in this world is like a tin shack compared to what's to come. You know, and you think of all the effort people put into their homes and their palaces and their castle. It's just like nothing compared to what God has prepared for his people who love Jesus. Praise God. Why, yeah, working so hard for all these things that are one day going to just burn up. It's so important to have our eyes upon Jesus and have our hearts set on what's to come. All right, so we're going to keep going on. And also, 12 comes up a lot. So it doesn't sort of come out probably so much in our English translations, but it's 12,000 stadia. That's the measurement, 2,160 kilometres. And it's 12 times 12 cubits for the width of the wall. I love how God, he's into numbers, all right? You know that? He's into numbers. Everything's perfect. That's our God. And the city is all worked out perfectly. I love that. Okay, so this city is grand. That's just like an understatement, isn't it? The city is grand. What word can we use? It's huge. The city of our God. It's massive. Grand. And it's splendid. Splendid. We're going to see how splendid it is in the next few verses, but let me go back to verse 11 of Revelation 21, verse 11. It says, having the glory of God, the city's brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. What splendor! It just shines. So in verses 18 onwards, we see some of this. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. I find it hard to take all this in. It's just like sparkly. It's just so amazing. It's just incredible. Verse 19, the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. I won't read all the beautiful stones, all these beautiful rare stones, these gems. That's how the city is described. And then we get to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. What? The gates are these massive big pearls that God has made. Each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. That's the city that God has made for us. So when I look at this, like, God has just made this the most incredible place for himself, for his son, and for us to be there. All right. All I can say is it's splendid and glorious. That's our home that we are heading toward. Oh, praise the Lord's name. Okay, now we're going to get into some really special verses. And no matter how wonderful the city is, that's not the heart of the city. No matter how good it is, that's not what it's all about. In verse 22, we see something amazing. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. What's that mean? There is no temple in the city. In Jerusalem, the ancient city of Jerusalem, there was a temple. Now there is a mosque on the Temple Mount. But in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Why is there no temple? Because God is present in that city and fills that whole city. The whole city is a temple. Wow, that's different. The Father and the Son will fill, their presence will fill that whole big city. The whole city is a temple. And then we read in verse 23, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. What do you think of that? There's no sun. That's really different. No sun, no moon, no need for any celestial bodies up there, because God, the Father, and His Son will light up the city. His glory will make every part of that city shine. There won't be any shadows. We're talking about the glory of God. It's going to be so different. And it's interesting. It talks about the glory of our God. But look what it says there at the end of verse 23. Its lamp is the Lamb. Wow, I love that. The Lamb is mentioned. The Lamb. The one who was the Lamb of God. The one who died upon a cross. Who bore our sin and shame. Who suffered in the old Jerusalem on a cross so that we could be saved. This Lamb of God is the Son of God. And He's the light of the world and will be the light in the new city. And His glory will shine forth like nothing. Everything in that city will be lit up. The glory of Jesus, the one who died for us, will light up that city. I can't think of anything better than that. It's His light that will shine everywhere. Wow. The Saviour God, our Saviour God, the one who saved us, and He's also our God. And then it goes on to say, the nations, in verse 24, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honour of the nations into it. So the light of that city, the light of Christ, will just light up the whole world, the whole new earth. And how different we read here compared to the days we live in. The nations and the kings of the earth shall bring to Jesus devotion and glory and honour. What do we see right now? The very opposite. Oh, I feel so sad, and I think the world we live in, that we just see Jesus being mocked and ridiculed and dishonoured all the time. All the time. But how things will change on that day. When Jesus will bring forth this new creation with His Father, and there will be a new city, and the nations and the kings of the earth will honour and give to Him all the glory and the honour. Wow, what a different time this will be. Praise the Lord. There'll be no night time. Well, that's a bit different too. Just daytime. The gates will forever be open. How that's going to work? Well, it's going to work because you're going to have new, glorious bodies. You won't need sleep. You'll be on full charge all the time. I know it's hard to imagine, but this is how it's going to be. God is creating all things new. That's amazing, isn't it? Friends, we've got these great truths that we can see what is before us. that we might have this glorious hope in our hearts in this broken and fallen world. This is where we're heading if we are in Christ. Wow. And then I want to read verse 27. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Who are the residents of this glorious city? Those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who are they? Who's in the Lamb's Book of Life? Everyone who's put their trust in Jesus. You know, what's amazing is that your name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before God even created the world. Do you know that? But we came to realize that our names were in the book when we felt God draw us. And He drew us to Christ and we humbled ourselves and fell before Jesus and called on Him to save me, a sinner. That's when we knew we're in the book. And everyone who's in that book, they are going to enjoy eternal bliss and paradise with Jesus the Lord and God our Father forever and ever in the best city you could ever imagine. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how it's going to be. Because God loves His people. This is what He's done for us. We haven't just been forgiven of our sins. We haven't just been spared from judgment and hell. We have been saved too. All these glorious things. And right now, we get to walk with God every day. We have a glorious hope in our hearts to keep us going no matter what, to persevere to the end, because we know, because of our God, because of His promises, this is where we're going to be one day. Isn't that amazing? And this is why faith is so important. It's so important that you have faith and you picture and put in your head and your mind that where we're going. You keep your eyes on Jesus and the glory that is to come. And I want to finish by saying to you, in Revelation 21, we have two verses that are so contrasting. So if I turn back to Revelation 21, verse 8, we read there, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's a really strong and challenging passage. This is God. This is His justice for those who have not repented, who pushed Jesus away. This is speaking about the reality of hell. But for those who did humble themselves and repent and turn to Jesus, Revelation 27 says, those ones who have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they shall be the one who dwell in the glorious city on high, the New Jerusalem, forever and ever. How serious it is that we choose Christ. How serious it is, no matter what you need to give up, that you turn to Him and give your life to Him, even today, if you're not there yet. It's simply by praying, Lord Jesus, I see that I'm a sinner. Please would you forgive me and save me. And you give your life to Him. And when you do that, man alive, I know we can have hard days, but we know where we're going. It's well with our soul. Well, we've got one more chapter to go, but that's not till after the camp, God willing. All right. We're going to sing a song now. I didn't know which one to sing, but I thought let's sing this one called Beautiful Saviour. And that's because of the lovely third verse where it says, I long to be where the praise is never ending. I yearn to dwell where the glory never fades, where countless worshippers will share one song and cries of worthy will honour the Lamb. Time for a closing prayer. Got to read two verses though. Sorry about this. Revelation 21. I shouldn't say sorry about this. Listen to this. Revelation 21 verse 5. Listen to this great declaration. He who sits on the throne, that's God the Father. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. From what we looked at today, surely that's the case. How do you feel about that? This rubbish world, crazy world, broken world, He's going to make all things new. What an amazing God. And what about that verse we saw? Verse 22 and 23. I saw no temple in it, that's the new city, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. I long to be there. I trust you do too. Let's pray. Now, Father, as I just conclude now, just reading those words from your word, I feel so overawed by what I've just looked at, even from my soul. It's beyond me. It's so wonderful and glorious. And I can't get over that you should be so good and gracious to us when we have not been good to you. We thank you for your incredible grace and for what your Son has endured, such insults, such horror, such affliction when he died upon a cross for us. But Lord, as we see the big picture, we can't help but be so thankful for what Jesus has done. He's done all this to pave this beautiful path to glory and for us to one day be where the praises never end and where there'll be glory and delight forever and ever. And we thank you for our dear, precious Saviour who so has loved us and given us eternal life through him. And I pray for every soul here today that we might truly love Jesus, that our names would be in his book because we put our faith in him. And if we're not there yet, I ask, Father, that your Spirit would move in our hearts and help us to surrender our life to Jesus, that we'd come to love him and have this glorious hope. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here, and maybe there's many here, who are finding life really challenging and difficult. And Lord, we don't want to dismiss that, but I ask that you would help them to have their mind filled with these words of glory and hope, that you would help us to endure through whatever we have to go through. And thank you that you are by our side. Lord, you're a great God, and I just thank you with all my heart for who you are. You are beyond compare, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.